B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Let's not front on how this happened. Brian has a close relationship with Daryl Green, dating back to their years playing together, winning Super Bowls together. And Daryl is incredibly busy and made time to talk to B. Mitch. I just happen to be in the same room. Here is our interview with Hall of Famer Daryl Green. We are honored to bring in Mr. Daryl Green to the program. Daryl, congratulations, man. Your jersey going up forever. 28 gets retired. How you been, man? This has got to be so cool.
More than cool. It's unexplainable. It's different. It's the word I just tell you. It's different. This is not, I got the Hall of Fame, greatest 100. This is different. Can almost can explain it, but just special, really beyond that. I don't know what the word to use. another level.
You know, many people couldn't believe that your number hadn't already been retired. Look, I played with you. I know you well, and I think this is something that's long overdue. I know you are a man of God, and you believe that, you know, your life is bigger than this, but how good did this make you feel when you found out that Josh Harris and Mitchell Rails were going to put your number up in the rafters?
And that's very important, because I've had to tell myself, man, dude, this is crazy. This is fun. Let go and just enjoy it. And I really have done that. I really have enjoyed it. I've enjoyed every bit of it. And I've just, you know, certainly appreciate these guys. Man, they're next level. I mean, unfortunately, we've never seen this. We've never seen this here. Yep. Never been treated this way. And, you know, just, you know, so it's just, you know, and I'm the guy that's, you know, leading it off. But I'm representing. Ken Comfrey called me, one of old teammates, and said, hey, man, gosh, man, I'm so happy for us. And I'm like, man, that's it. That's it. That's so great. This is us. There's a us in this, in that, what this represents as the team, as now who they are, and what we are hoping to become again afresh to our city and our region, our community. So, yeah, I'm not just owning this and that. Oh, man, I'm just happy. No, it's bigger. That's what I said, man. This is bigger than it's ever been to me. I was sitting there
with Santana one day, and Josh came by, Mitchell came by, and he was like, man, they must have watched you play. They look at you a different way. If they look at me that way, I know how they look at you. When you listen to them, do you know that these guys genuinely were like fans and cared about you?
Yeah, you know, Josh, I'm closer to Mitch Rails just personally. We go to dinner with our wives and so forth. I normally just kick it with Josh and Marjorie in the suite, but... matter of fact, that Giants game, I felt like, wow, man, I got to know this guy even more. The more I'm around him, of course, I've known Mark Iams my whole time here, and Magic, I've known Magic over 30, 40 years, whatever. So all of these guys, man, are real humans. They're not these gazillionaire untouchables up there in the box and, you know, inside of a bubble. They're real people, and that's refreshing. And I think I know that they're sincere. And I really appreciate them. But you're exactly right, man. They're just what the doctor ordered. And we were very critical almost on oxygen, you know, as a team in our region. The timing couldn't have been better. We were hemorrhaging, you know. And when I say that, I mean what we were. And, of course, you were there this Saturday out at the Greenleaf. We have to, me and you, and then these other guys that play, we got to get back out there. This is our city, our community, whether it's corporate, whether it's just kids on the playground, wherever it is. But that's a part. We have to do that. Our community needs it. And these guys are the leads. They're the lead dogs, and they're the power brokers, and they give the freedom for us to go and love our community and serve our community and utilize their resources to do that. And then on top of that, they got to win football games. That's the part people need. Oh, gotta get that done. But I'm not on that side, you know. But yeah. This is another level, y'all. And I think we. I'm talking to every person that listened in here, every we that, man, my grandfather, man, my grandmother, man, my mama, man, when I was a kid. I'm talking every one of them we's, and even me. I'm
21. I've never seen nothing. But my grandfather told me, yeah, him too and her too. All of us, all these people, Bree, we came from Texas and Louisiana, but we came into this. We didn't bring it, but we love it and appreciate it. And this is a spectacular community. But this team, I think, has a vital role to play for the sustainability of our community as it relates to social relationships and people and fun and fellowshipping and that human part. So that's it's big. It's big, man. Big, big, big.
Well, Daryl, to that point, talking about the community and the city and coming together, obviously getting your jersey retired by an organization that largely doesn't do that is really reflective of just the incredible career you had and the longevity your career had. But you're also getting the key to the city from the mayor. I mean, that is bigger than football. I mean, congratulations. How did that come about? How exciting is that?
Yeah, to me, you know, in much part, the football is the jersey. The key is the man. You know, and it's not exclusive because they're both, they're interchanged. But, you know, I think I've made my commitment to this city, man, my whole adult life. You know, I was on the strike for free agency, never participated in that, you know, God's direction on that. That to me is, man, they're both just, as I said, that in a million years, will that ever happen again? My player gets his jersey retired and he gets the key to the city in the same day. So that is cool. Just like, man, I'm just I'm up on cloud nine in this. It's really incredible. But there's a, you know, I'm a kind of a sober kind of guy, but I'm going to be goofy, man. Excited. I'm goofy, excited, man. But I'm, that's a crazy, weird balance, man, between just, you know, the soberness to it and then just like, golly, man, that's crazy. So it's that combination that is just weird, man. We're good. Yeah.
So now, when you first found out about the jersey, you know, they got you because you normally know everything, but they got you.
Oh, my God.
And listen, you had a tear, and I had a tear because, you know, when you play with somebody, you become close to them. And I'll tell you this, like everybody asks me, you know, how did you know how to do stuff when you were young? I said, well, I watched the brothers and sisters that my mom smiled and they bragged about. So I got here to Washington, and you know, I came in as a little renegade, little wild, rough guy. And
true
I watched
that,
you.
That.
I watched you. I watched Tim. I watched Ernest. I said, okay, that's the guys I'll try to follow. And I watched how y'all worked in the community as much as you did on the field, and I tried to become that. So I want to say thank you because I think the things I've done and accomplished here is come in part because of watching you do it at a high level.
You know, man. And that's not taken away from anybody else. But you and Santana Moss, y'all are the next up Daryl Greens, you know, if I can say that. And you're exactly right. And he, you know, he'd been close to you, you know, even in, you know, I don't think you didn't cross careers, but y'all made personal friendships. And that was obviously a camaraderie when you play football, so it doesn't take a lot to get to be, become family. But, no, I watch y'all even in my retirement. But, you know, yeah, dude, I mean, you and I, we're family. We're actually family. So I call you anytime, any night, any day. I know what I'm going to get. I'm going to get a response back. And so I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of that because I think, you know, and of course I've got my son. But if you don't have, you know, you talk about legacy, you know, legacy is the next person. And how you affect the next human, you know, it's not the buildings that you, man, I own that building and that building. Well, that's cool. I own that land. That's cool. I left some five cars. That's cool. No, it's not that. It's what you just said. It's what you just said. People who can trust you, even if you're not blood, but I trust you, your opinion means something to me. That's huge. That's really huge. And there's a lot of us, Rick Walker included, different ones who have affected, we've affected each other in a positive way, in an unselfish way. And that's what I want the people to understand as they see this, that it's bigger than chasing down Tony Dorsett. It's, and I believe that Josh and them, when they think about it, they're thinking out beyond that. The Chicago punt return, and the fact that me and B. Mitch sit down and talk about being men. Those are the same things. Mm-hmm. So, and the influence with the children and community. So it's all of that. And that, to me, is a special part of sports when we do it right. And unfortunately, the numbers are too small for those who get this, you know, for the percentage of guys that do it and understand it. And we right now, we're in a deficit with the present team. There are some great kids that I've met, you know, met some of them and I see it. But they're missing this part of, you know, get your butt up. Get in your car. We're not going to send a bus for you. And like you came over there the other day. Yeah, I ain't sent no bus for you. Hey, man, here's the address. I'll see you over there. ID, I'll see you over there. Yeah. On Saturday morning, you know, up early. So that's the part that we are going to have to, and I want us to get, you know, for whatever level we can, get these young men to embrace our community and bring and let the value that they bring be exploited by the young people in our community.
Talking with Hall of Famer, two-time Super Bowl champion, the 1996 Walter Payton Man of the Year, Darryl Green, getting his jersey retired this weekend, getting the key to the city this weekend from Mayor Muriel Bowser. And Darryl, all your accomplishments, there's one thing that people still want to know. How fast are you now?
Well, you know, I always run sprints and stuff. And I've said this for years. Man, I'm going to run me a real 40, real make it public. But I tell you what, man, I feel pretty good. You know, I feel pretty good, you know, in terms of my legs. Me, Mitch, I don't know if you were there at the end. I ran all those kids. Now, of course, they were only.
I watched you run a little kid early. He was talking a lot of trash to you. You shut him down.
Yeah, yeah. It was, you know, they were kids. I'm just working my way up. I'm like, I'm fighting those low weight, you know, fights before I get to the championship. I'm taking all elementary and middle schoolers. I don't care who they are. Yeah, so right now I'm fighting at the lower level, middle school and elementary. And 75 and older. Those are the guys I'm playing. And then I'm gonna work my way down. I'm gonna work my way up to high school. And 60 and over. So I'm in training. I'm in training right now. I'm running in the preseason type, you know, preliminary races. We're not in the conference. We're not in conference yet. We're not in the conference yet, man. Ain't no conference meets. We run a little fake meets.
Darryl,
elementary, we know how. Hey, all y'all fans out there, if you have an elementary or middle school kid, I want him. I want him or her. Or if you're 75 or older, male or female, I'll take you.
The challenge is out there.
Long now. This ain't gonna be long though, because I'm gonna win this division quick. And then I'm gonna move up to welterweight. Then I'm gonna go. Featherweight, welterweight.
A cruiser.
I'm gonna work my way up. Yeah, that's a good answer for you on that. Yeah,
it's perfect.
Darryl, I'm probably gonna get some calls from somebody about the elementary. My boy Johnny can beat you. Johnny gonna be going home crying, and then he gonna be needed. Talk to somebody.
Darryl, this has been absolutely fantastic. I know you're a busy man, and it's really kind of you to take time to talk with us in advance of what is an incredible weekend for you.
100%, man. Appreciate you guys, and it's going to be a great weekend, man, and looking forward to it. See you guys.
Thank you, Darryl. Right,
take care, D. Be cool, brother.
Thank you, Darryl.
Peace. All right, babe. Take care.
Thanks.
What in a, I mean, that just is so hysterical for DG28 to be walking around challenging middle schoolers.
Anybody under 10, over 75. Let's
go. I loved that because I feel like we got to see the person you know of Darryl.
That's it. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, when you play with somebody, you're in the locker room with them, they are different with you than they are with other people. Sure. So, a lot of times I tell people, even in our industry, I can get more out of somebody than you can.
Nobody's getting him to laugh at a joke like that.
Yeah, it happens. But you know what? The dude still runs. That's one thing he does. He still runs.
He can scoot. You think he would still be in like the 4.7s?
Easily. Easily.
That's so wild. Well, thank you for getting that interview on the books. I hope everyone enjoyed it. I don't know how you couldn't, frankly. We will be right back. Shout out to Leon Harris, who's listening to the programs.
Leon, what's said, up, brother?
Said he loved the interview with Daryl. He said, quote of the day, you got a middle schooler? I'm taking him on. Shout out to Dom Capers for just the best looking head of hair in the NFL.
Yeah, it's a little dye. Yeah, some dye in that
thing. It's like, you remember what Carlos Boozer did that time where he just like drew hair on his head? Kind of reminds me of that. And earlier I mentioned...
I don't think Dom Capers' hair was ever that black.
Earlier I mentioned the gentleman that asked Terry McLaurin the question about the play call. I really enjoyed that. John Doran did a good job with that. Shout out to John.
Good job.
Brian, you were just looking at the props for this game.
Yeah.
Which one of them stood out to you? Chuba?
Chuba? The one that stood out to me is that in the rushing, they didn't have my man Brian up in there. Or Austin. For the rushing yards.
Well, until they know about Brian, they can't set it for Austin.
Yeah. So they had both of them all. So it kind of made me say, okay, what's going on here? But I think Brian will be playing. Also, when I look at the receiving yards, I think they're right on point where they put it there for all the guys. But we will see.
So last week, I did not think B-Rob was going to play. And sure enough, he didn't. This week, I feel different. But it does stand out a little bit that it's still a game-time decision.
He practiced.
Yeah.
Yesterday, did he not?
Yep, and Wednesday.
And Wednesday. So, I don't think he practices the whole week and then don't play. I think he's going to play this week.
Dorrance Armstrong, I mean, he hasn't practiced, so this isn't a surprise, but he is out for Sunday's game.
I can see that.
There's not a ton of injuries on, but there are some fairly critical ones. No Allen, no JJB, no Armstrong. I mean, let's just, what does that lineup look like? Payne, Newton, Obata, Fowler.
Obata, Fowler. I know they take Andre Jones all the time, so but he's
on practice squad, but they can elevate him.
They can elevate him if he decided to. Inside, you got Newton, Darian.
Yeah.
Obata can drop down in there. You already got
maybe it's
Deron.
Jamin?
Jamin make an opportunity this week. For all the folks have been asking for him, he make it an opportunity. And if I'm him, I'm going haywire if I can.
If you get a chance, dude.
Hell yeah.
For sure. They could elevate Carl Davis, the dude they just signed to the practice squad.
Yeah, a few guys that, they was the other guy they brought over from practice squad that they signed to the
Day. Sheldon Day.
Yeah, Sheldon.
He's probably playing, honestly.
Yeah. There'll be another one out there.
Not ideal.
It's not, but,
runs the ball well. Carolina does have a good O-line. They run the ball pretty well. They just turn it over a ton.
Things happen sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it's football, dude. Like, guys get hurt. It's a game of attrition, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pulling this up. Farrell... I don't believe. Okay, so in the Ravens game, Farrell played 36 snaps. So you can probably count on that this week. I mean, who knows a starting lineup because they play so many sub packages anyway.
Yeah.
But I think you're looking at Fowler and Farrell as your edges that play the most this week.
Probably so.
Does that sound right?
Yeah. That sounds 100% right.
Because if you look at. So who's going to be on the field for you every snap? Wagner, Luvu. The guys over 90% from last week, 90% of defensive snaps. Wagner and Luvu played 100% of them. BSJ was at 95. Kwan was at 93. You can kind of count on that.
They believe in Kwan, bro.
Yo, Kwan's good.
Yes.
And he does all – like, Kwan has a presence and is – like a leader. Like a he has like a natural charismatic leadership to him. Which honestly, if you're gonna be named Quan, you better be pretty cool. Like you can't have the name of Quan and be just like a kind of scared to speak nerd. That's a tough name to not live up to. Like Jeff could pull off Quan. Jeff, you should start going by Quan.
What made you... Nah, I stick to Jeff.
Okay.
Jeffrey!
Obada last week played 32% of snaps. But if you're looking straight edge, guys, I think it's going to be Fowler and Farrell. And with Armstrong inactive, I don't really see a path. What's a fair, polite way to say this? If Jamin Davis isn't active this week... At some point, you wonder why he's on the roster. Because you're
not necessarily.
You're down.
They've already told you how they work stuff. They do all of this, want to have this package, that package.
But you're now down three DNs.
Yeah.
Like, you got to have them active this week. Just from the injury personnel standpoint. I don't know that.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Shout out to Commander Danny. We got two commanders in the chat now, Jeff? There's a Commander Danny. Oh.
And a Commander.
We're all commanders.
Commander Tequila is no longer
Commander. Yeah, Commander
He's
Tequila.
Commandant.
Commandant Tequila.
Commandant. That's how you say it. Commandant.
Would it not be Commandante for Commander Tequila?
I don't know. Let's ask him so we can make sure we write on that.
You ask him. You text Commander Tequila?
Nah, we get him to call me. I would say...
I'm confident he'll call. We're going to do the phones.
For sure.
He will be calling. Jeff.
But, like, Commander Danny is in the chat right now on the YouTube stream. Check it out on YouTube 106.7. What's the YouTube page, Toby? YouTube/
106.7 The Fan.
There you go. In all caps, my man wrote, "Give Jamin a chance," with 5 exclamation points.
Oh, boy.
Toby, we don't get to hear your voice all that often. You're currently wearing a Commander's vest, a Redskins sleeve shirt under it, and a Washington hat. I would say you got the syndrome, sir. help me understand why everyone is so convinced that Jamin Davis is this force to be reckoned with and that the coaches are wrong to not have him on the field.
I can't make sense of it, JP. I don't understand it. To me, the reason he made the roster is so you could keep one less linebacker and one less DN, and he works as both of them. And if you need to, in worst case scenario, he can play one of those. They haven't needed him. So I personally didn't understand why he was on the roster because, you know, if he had a couple of years left on his contract and you wanted to work as a project with him at DN, that would have made sense. But on the last year of his deal to try and now decide that you're going to change positions? I don't know. That one didn't make sense to me, but you know he's a talented player. At least he's got a lot of skills, but I don't know that it works for this football team right now.
I think ultimately, you know, they are trying to see if they can salvage something. And I think he played well enough to make the team. Now he got to find a way to make himself to a point where they have to put him in. So if he gets a chance, he better make some plays. Because you already see, you don't normally get out there unless somebody gets hurt.
Well, and he made some plays earlier this season, and he's still not getting activated.
Yeah. But like they said, and I think Joe Witt said it earlier, and I don't think many people believe him, we're going to play you if you think we think you help us win the game. If you don't, you won't be playing. And it may be different per week. And that's what they do, man.
Did I tell you that I found out whose truck it is with the boots?
Found what?
You know the truck with the boots hanging off them?
Yeah, who is it?
I'll tell you off air. Jeff, I have a question for you, and I mean this seriously. Are you prepared to play your song from start to finish?
Oh, I thought she was about to say, are you prepared to walk out and see your car with a boot on it?
Wait, why don't you go there, Jeff?
Because he started talking about boots, and every time we talk
about
parking...
actual, like, hunting boots, like footwear.
Oh, I thought you was talking about, like, the shiny orange boots that the city give you.
Let's pull this thread a hair, then. How many parking tickets you currently sitting on that you're worried about getting a boot?
How many boots have you had?
He's gotten at least 2 boots since we've all been doing the show together.
No.
Yes.
No. I have no jinx. I have not been booted. I have caught them in the act, and they was like, bro, we got you. Cool. But the thing is, I'm not sitting on that many tickets. But.
Not this time.
But. It bleep parking. Bleep parking enforcement, because the daggone kiosk wasn't even working outside. And how they know I got a cell phone to get the app? How they know my app? How they know my phone got enough space to get the app for parking?
Believe me, they know you got one.
It's crazy,
you know,
man.
What? They probably sent the ticket or the collection thing to your phone. They know you got a phone.
How many tickets you sitting on right now? Over, under 3.5.
Oh, that's over that.
Oh, definitely over. Definitely over. But I am actively paying them down. And it's not, the crazy thing is, they're not even speeding tickets, red light tickets. They're legit parking tickets that just keep doubling.
Yeah, I mean, pay them.
There's a way to stop them from doubling.
Yeah, dude, it's just like, she just always come. Like, she always
pause.
Come.
You about to get your pause, dog. Pause.
Like, I'm sorry. It's like, I know it's insanity that I haven't, like, just tried a different, but, like, I'll be fine until, like, the last 30 minutes of work, right? But okay. Then I'll do that. And then she'll come on the day I pay at the last 30 minutes of work. She'll already have came during the day. And we can't just park more than 2 hours. If I was to pay the 2 hours from the start of work, I would have to go outside, move my car. It's just a lot, man. I'm about to start taking the metro.
You normally take a lot of walks.
You were doing good taking the metro there for a while. You said you were meeting women and stuff?
Yeah, but the thing is, JP, like,
didn't the man tell you don't say that type of stuff on air?
Yeah.
You're doing bits.
No, boy. Diary of the mouth.
When we come back, Jeff Walker's got a song and maybe a parking ticket. Roost in the building. You got 3 drinks over there. Got a cup of coffee, a cup full of red liquid.
Why is everything so big, though, Roost? Why don't you get a small cup or something?
B. Mitch, do I look like a guy who needs a small drink?
Yes.
Touche.
It is. It is a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday.
Oh, man.
We're going to open those phone lines up.
Roost,
in 10,
yourself open. I had to take that shot, dog.
10 minutes. Roost, how are you, dude?
Doing good. How are you guys?
We got a Hokie shirt on. Big win for the Hokies last night.
Yeah. Star running back, star defensive end. I don't know any of their names, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, BC came out like a bolt of lightning in the second half, though. Didn't they score 3 straight touchdowns?
Well, it was like 28-0, and then I'm bouncing around. You know, like last night there was just a ton of stuff on between the Mets game, the Yankee game, the hockey game.
The god-awful football game.
The NFL game. Awful. I mean, just a waste of time. But, yeah, it was 28-0, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And then it was the next thing.
It was definitely
like 28-7. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Virginia Tech finishes it off. That kid can, I mean, you want to talk about somebody who is right up the draft boards because, you know, I mean, you put on a performance like that when everybody can see it. Granted, it's against Boston College. Boston College is plucky. Bill O'Brien's got them playing good. So that's, you know, that's good for him. I saw him in person a couple of weeks ago against Rutgers, and he sure as hell didn't look that good, but he was impressive that day, too. They should have won that game. That's a thing for Virginia Tech. They should have, you know, probably 2 more wins, and if they had 2 more wins,
that Miami
they might still
game.
Be in contention. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the right call, though.
That Miami game is just brutal loss.
Yep. For the right call at the end, though.
I didn't have a problem with that call, so, I'm with you, and, you know, I –
anybody that think it wasn't the right call, they just weren't.
Virginia Tech screwed themselves before.
You got to score when the kid has the almost pick 6.
Yeah.
And then the offense, what they have, first and goal, first and 10 from the 15. Yeah. You got to score there.
Yeah.
I don't even remember the call. Virginia Tech just didn't. Blew the game.
Well, in that Miami game, they ran a fake field goal.
They didn't score on the pick 6.
Right.
Was that the Hail Mary thing at the end?
Yeah, the Hail Mary thing at the end is what B was talking about. But there were spots earlier. There was a questionable holding call, but that wiped out like a long 65-yard touchdown, by the running back. Why am I not remembering his name and I'm just calling him the running back? You know who I'm talking about. The kid that just dominated everybody last
year. That works.
Night. Yeah.
What do you think for this week, Evers?
I think it's going to be closer than probably most people think. I'm not saying no people, but most people, I'm thinking the Commanders win, but I think it's going to be a little hairy, a little helter-skelter, a little bit more too close, too tight, whatever the hell I'm trying to say. Too close for comfort. Yeah, there you go. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thank. I'm not exactly an English major, nor am I a vocabulary, nor am I a radio host.
Right there, dog.
Yeah. Good job by you guys on the Daryl Green interview. I was fascinated. I was wondering, you know, it was interesting listening to it because I didn't know what you guys asked and what you were going to ask, if you were going to ask about, you know, the current team and Jaden Daniels and Benjamin St. Juste and all. I love the fact that it was just a peel back, and I think you guys made mention of it at the end, a peel back into, you know, what makes DG, and I don't know him very well, I've just met him a couple of times, you know, what makes him the kind of person that he is, and still, I mean, when you can be probably an egomaniac if you wanted to be, he seems very much the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, so I like the fact that you guys are just like, I don't know if that was the plan or not, but yeah.
Try to make it fun.
I figure we'll go the fun route.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we try to give you 4 hours of fun.
That's what this show is all about. That's what this show is all about. 4 hours of fun bags.
Oh, dog?
Whoa.
Fun bags are something else entirely.
Where are you going with that?
Roost, do you want the honor of introducing Jeff Walker's Week 7 hype song?
Mm. Sure.
This is like being the celebrity guest picker on game day.
I love it.
All right, you're up.
Right now?
Yeah.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the Week 7 Jeff Funny Walker hype song.
We could have won that game last week, but we didn't make a play where we needed to make a play. Now my question this week is, who gonna make a play?
Make a play this week. That's Week 7 song, baby.
Jeffrey, I like it.
Good shot, boy.
I liked the
way to go, Jeff.
Like the Jaden line, how you like broke the music up right there. It was kind of hot. It was a little different.
Yeah, shout out to my engineer on that. My boy LB thought, he was like, yo, you got to break that up. That's fire. And shout out to my dog, Sean Minotti, man. We've been coming with the bangers, and we just going to keep coming with the bangers.
There you go.
There you go.
And how can they get that, Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff.
And make sure you always say that, brother.
Yep, it's dropping out on SoundCloud today. And week 1 through week 7 should be on all DSPs. That's distribution services by next week.
And I played the Jaden song for guys on Apple Music the other day. They were like, man, who is that? I said, one of my producers say, man, why is he on the radio working with y'all?
Tell them sign me, and then we're gonna bring B-Mitch and Finley.
I don't think they could do that.
because we play your song, I don't know. I've been approached by more people trying to get me to play their music lately, and I don't have that ability.
We don't do that.
Just so everybody knows, it's not up to me. There's a lot of laws, and as much as I may pretend to play it loose with some of these regulations, Some of them you can't play it loose
you
with.
You may play it loose. You play all the looseness.
Hey, look, my advice to those people, just keep grinding. Somebody will play it one day.
Yeah.
What about when Rooster called him Jeff Funny Walker?
Funny Walker. Not too, Jeff Too Funny. Not Jeff Too Funny. Jeff Funny.
Rooster was good at the intro, though, outside of the calling
I told
you funny.
Him, I need to get him either on an intro or pitch a Rooster dropping bars.
That right, if you get that done, we got something going.
Dude, matter of fact, we going to get that.
I want to see that.
Get Rooster to guest on a song.
It's done.
Hell yes.
Yeah. Oh, bro.
Phone lines that open. Press the button. Open these things up.
How you going to get him to the studio?
He got a car.
Man, I don't think he can drive where you drive. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Ask B. Mitch anything.
Let's do it.